Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. God told me this week, handpick those three. God was going to move in a mighty way. Thank you for being obedient. Tech team, thank you as well. Everyone who's volunteering, appreciate you. Hello, and welcome to First Open Bible. Morning. It's a confusing time right there, wasn't it? I'm glad that you're joining us this morning for worship. Thank you for joining us online as well. And if you're over in the fellowship hall, thank you so much as well. Thank you for being in this place together. Praise God. Praise God. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor. And I'm feeling the anointing of God right now. Just feel him. You know, I had to apologize. That I had to wait for a Christian holiday to invite Jesus like I did this morning to have his way on me. I'm like, Lord, why didn't I do this last week or the week before or the week before? What I love about our Savior is he doesn't condemn us. But the Spirit of the living God convicts our hearts. And he also reminds us, well, you're human. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know if you've been seeking the presence of God maybe as greatly or as strongly as you have this morning, but God is not here to condemn you, but he's to remind you his presence is here. Pentecost is a wonderful, wonderful day, a great celebration. We're going to talk about that today, but we're also going to go a little bit deeper in his word. And most of all, church, seek his presence. Without his presence, we have nothing. We can do nothing. We can go nowhere. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Happy birthday, church. Happy birthday. Can you believe it's been 7 weeks since we celebrated Easter? 7 weeks. This is Pentecost Sunday, also known as the birthday of the church. Well, happy birthday. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. Amen? Amen. 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 Last month, our theme was generous. This month's theme is more generous. Next month's theme is more generous. I'm just joking. It's actually something different. I do look forward to next month. It's going to be excellent. We have something special for you next week as we finish up more generous. A series more generous. Next week's going to be something special. Now, who's more generous than our Father who is in heaven? No one. Think about this. God sent not only his one begotten Son, his one and only Son, to live, die, and set us free and reconcile us back to God, but he doesn't stop there. Our Father is more generous than anyone. He sent another. He sent a comforter, a counselor, the one to empower us when Jesus ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. Our God is the most generous of all. Amen? Most generous. First Open Bible Church here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. This is a Pentecostal church. If it's your first time and you've never been to a Pentecostal church, this is a good one. Hang on, someone said, yeehaw! Come on now. This is a good one. We're going to teach what the word says in the book of Acts. Pentecostalism is one of the fastest growing religious movements on the planet. Recent studies show that an estimated 35,000 people join the Pentecostal church each day. It's sad that we can't say that happens in America, but guess what? Us Americans, it's hard to see past our country sometimes. God is moving because God has been invited to move all over the world. About in the world, there's 2 billion, around 2 billion Christians, and a quarter of them are now Pentecostal. What is Pentecostalism? This is what it means. It refers to Christian denominations who prioritize the Spirit and whose worship services may include speaking in tongues, faith healings, prophetic words given, and other charismatic expressions, end quote. That's what a Pentecostal church refers to. Pentecostal Christians believe that the Holy Spirit is here and he is here now. Church, followers of Jesus are hungry for the supernatural. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Our world is hungry for the supernatural if they understand or not. Look, how many movies come out that are no longer scary movies but demonic? Just straight from the pits of hell. I mean, they are getting inspiration from demons themselves to scare people. They are intrigued. They are dabbling in the supernatural. People are hungry. Christians are hungry to be empowered to do the works of the ministry, the works that they are personally called to fulfill in their lives. And we cannot do that alone. Every one of you has a mission, a calling, but you cannot do that alone. See, I'm thankful to be a part of a church that believes God still empowers his people today by the baptism of the Holy Spirit to do the works of the ministry. Amen? If you like that, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Pentecost, what does it mean? It means this, 50th day. And it was 50th day of the Passover. Pentecost Sunday is always 7 weeks after Easter. Jesus was killed on the day of Passover, the same day that Barabbas was released. Jesus showed himself to his disciples for 40 days after being raised from the dead on Easter and before he ascended to heaven. Then 10 days after Jesus' ascension, went to heaven at the right hand of the Father, after he did that, 10 days later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened to the 120 in the upper room. Let's read about that in Acts chapter 2, the first four verses. It says this, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, if you want to get real spiritual there, filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, right? You got to do this. Holy Ghost, one of those, okay? "They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Praise God. From Easter to Pentecost Sunday, Easter, right? What's this to you? All right. Easter to Pentecost Sunday is backwards for me. I got to think about it in my head. I practice it. Easter to Pentecost Sunday, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Comforter, the gift of the Spirit of God to be with us, to empower us to fulfill God's mission. The Holy Spirit always points back to Jesus. In the New Testament, there are two kinds of baptisms found. Both of these baptisms come after salvation. Salvation is through recognition, repentance, and confession. Let's read about it in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says this, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that God made, that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." I'm gonna hide it under a bushel. Oh no. I'm gonna let that shine. Amen. That's like the gangster version, I don't know. But that's one thing. It's not just attending church. It's not just believing what you believe. But guess what? It is openly declaring your faith that makes you saved. Too many people in too many churches think that they're saved and they haven't declared their faith ever. According to the word, they're not saved. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at God's word. See, salvation is received by faith. You have to have faith to receive this gift of salvation. You receive this by faith with recognition, repentance, and acceptance and proclamation. Let me say that again. You receive it by faith, salvation by faith, with recognition, wow, I'm a sinner, right? Repentance, I am a sinner. Acceptance, Jesus is the Savior. And the proclamation, I need you to rescue me. Come to my rescue. That Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. Water baptism. This is an outward demonstration of an outward proclamation of an inward change. Jesus was baptized in water by John the Baptist. And if you read in God's word, you know John the Baptist needed a bath anyway. Praise God, right? All you that read your word, you know what I'm saying. It may be a tic tac. Okay, Jesus told his disciples that they should be baptized in water as well. Water baptism is seen as an instruction from God and another example of a way to follow Jesus' example. Water baptism is a representation of our rebirth. It's a representation of our rebirth and our union with Christ as part of the church, the worldwide church. We believe that water baptism is done by immersion in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's an outward sign of an inward work, and it's commanded by God to be done following salvation. Matthew 28:19, right? This is part of the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. How do you do it? Baptize. Remember, this was given before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So when he says baptizing, he means water. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, there's a different baptism. This is baptism in the Holy Spirit, or what we sometimes say is being filled in the Holy Spirit. This is a separate baptism. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 say this. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. And being assembled together, that means coming together with them, he commanded, right? This is Jesus talking to his disciples and his followers, right? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, this is reference to what Jesus previously said, and you can find that in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and this is what he said, and now I'll send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. This filling with power, this filling with God's Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Spirit Jesus is talking about here was the desire of his. Jesus had a desire for his followers, for his disciples to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you know they started with 500 and they ended 10 days later with 120 that received the baptism? If that tells you something. If my math is right, that's 380 people who went out and did the works of the ministry without the empowerment to do it. Come on now. But Jesus, and guess what? You don't really read about them, do you? Come on now. I'm just going to keep saying come on now because I'm encouraging myself. Everybody else is kind of quiet. Come on now. I am. Okay. All right. You got this. All right. Okay. But Jesus, what he had a desire for his disciples 2,000 years ago to receive this power from on high, Jesus also has that same desire for you today. Jesus wants to fill you and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the word baptism, this is not a translation. A lot of times in English, what we do is we take the Hebrew or the Greek and we translate it to words that we understand what they tried to mean. Now, a lot of people say it's not an exact translation for whatever. Dude, your Bible would be this thick if we had to explain every single thing that went back. Why? Because English is broken, right? We have a lot of things that are messed up about English. But see, baptism, it's not a translation. It's actually a transliteration. What does that mean? This means that we didn't take a word in English and try to make up a word to describe the word in Greek. We actually just stole the Greek word. The actual Greek word is this, baptizo. Baptizo. Its literal meaning means this, to immerse. To immerse. What does that mean? To submerge. I looked it up. Another definition is to involve oneself deeply. Baptizo, baptism, literal meaning is to immerse. In this era, 2,000 years ago, the main idea or the definition of baptizo or baptism or to be baptized was referring to someone who works with dyeing garments, clothing, things of that nature. What you would do is if you had a piece of cloth that you wanted a different color, right? This thing has no color. Let's say I want to make this thing blue. Or make it blue. You would take that cloth or that tapestry that had no color yet, and you'd baptizo it. Make sure you get it all in there. Into the blue dye, so the cloth or the tapestry would come out that color. Look, it's blue. This idea, this concept of baptism has become a supernatural symbol for thousands of years now. And you can find it throughout the New Testament. Through water baptism, we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So when you go into the water, you're identifying with his death. When you're placed under the water, we're identifying with his burial. And when you come out or you're raised up out of that water, you identify with his resurrection. Amen. Either a bunch of people had to go potty today or something's stirring, because that was the most people I've ever seen leave in one section ever. Holy Spirit wants to do something. See, our old self dies with Jesus as we go in, but when we come out of the water, we're a new person. Raised to new life with Christ, praise God. So just like that cloth, you go in one way, you come out another. You go in dead, you come out alive. You go in with your identity, you come out with Christ's identity. You go in full of sin and you come out full of his righteousness. Amen? Water baptism is extremely important. If you haven't been baptized, we do it every single year, and I think we need to do it more often, but we do it every year. Somebody here in our church, we go to their house, and we baptize people, and we join with another church, and it's a glorious event. Brett usually comes. He sings worship songs. I describe why we do water baptism, what it means, and we baptize, and it's amazing. And then usually we have food and fellowship and swimming and stuff like that afterwards. It's amazing. Baptizo. We get the picture of this supernatural baptism from the word and the practice from 2,000 years ago of people dyeing cloths or tapestries. The New Testament teaching is saying to us again today, church, just like you were baptized in the Lordship of Jesus for your salvation, and then you were baptized in water immersion, there's also an invitation to be baptized in the Lordship of the Holy Spirit as well. God wants to take you like that garment, right? And put his power of his Holy Spirit on you and baptize you, submerge you, involve yourself deeply, immerse you in his presence so he can pull you out and show you to the world, look how blue this person is, right? Look at that person who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at their boldness for God. Church, on the day of your salvation, you were made new. The Holy Spirit comes and He came inside of you and He lives inside of you as you invited Jesus into your heart. You're filled with God's Spirit and you're made alive. But being baptized in the Holy Spirit is like an activation of the Spirit that is inside of you. It's like an activation, like supercharged, right? Whoa! It's not only submitting to Jesus as the Lord of your life, but also it's submitting to the Holy Spirit so He can lead you, guide you, rule you, and empower you to do the life that Jesus has called you to live. You give the Holy Spirit lordship over you and the empowerment to help you do everything with His strength for His glory to fulfill His mission. See, in salvation, right, when we accept Christ, we surrender our will. We invite Jesus to have authority over us. Salvation is letting Jesus have control over our lives. I've messed this up enough, Jesus. I recognize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I invite you in, not just to rescue me from this moment or from this time or for this little phase of my life. I invite you to rule my life forever. You're my Savior. Amen? Now, as a saved follower of Jesus, you can go to the Holy Spirit and you can say, okay, I'm not leading my life anymore. Jesus is. I've surrendered to Him. So now I want to surrender to You now, Holy Spirit. I want You to empower me to do what it is that God has for me to do. I want to surrender to You as well. The Holy Spirit is willing to empower you today. He's willing. He's willing to do things. He wants to do things through you in the supernatural, by supernatural ways. But you have to invite Him to baptize you to do that. You have to invite Him just like you invited Christ to be your Savior. You have to invite the Holy Spirit to say, hey, I'm saved. And that's the most important thing. And the Holy Spirit says, amen, right? Amen to that. But I need the empowerment of Your presence in my life like never before. Because I have some things to do I don't know how to do. I got some things to do I'm not capable to do. I have some things to do You must empower me to walk through. Just like you had invited Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, you have to invite the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in your life. To empower you supernaturally to do supernatural things for Him. Are we not called by God's word to do supernatural things? If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Are we not called to do supernatural things for God? Say amen if you agree.
Amen.
We are. But how can we keep expecting to do supernatural things when we ourselves are not full of the supernatural? We can't, plain and simple. How many churches you know that are dead? And invite the Holy Spirit to have His way. That's why. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The church cannot be effective and it cannot be powerful without God's Spirit. You can have great programs and great ministries, but they probably won't be as effective and they definitely won't be as powerful if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not ruling and reigning in those things. As we look back on the first Pentecost in the upper room, I'm not so concerned with the individual phenomenons of the wind and the fire and the speaking in tongues. See, Pentecostals, I know oftentimes, and even myself, we get real stuck on the gifts, and we're so excited about the gifts, and I know the Word says that we eagerly seek those gifts, the nine gifts of the Spirit, but it means nothing if you don't have the gift giver. It doesn't mean anything. See, I'm not so concerned about The wind, the fire, the speaking in tongues, the prophesying, and all those things. Will those happen? Yeah, they will. The word promises those things will happen. But I want to focus on the main truth. Here's the main truth. The truth that something supernatural came from heaven and invaded men and women on earth and changed them forever. Empowered them forever. That's the main truth. Think about this. All of them, the 120 in the upper room, were filled with God Himself. Wow. The power from heaven filled them. Boo! Right? There are many stories in the book of Acts where people come to faith. They believe in Jesus, they're baptized in water, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They believe in Jesus, they get baptized in water, and then they're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's many stories in the book of Acts. Because of time's sake, I'm not going to go through each and every one of them in detail. I want you to study those on your own. I hope if you're taking notes, this is what I want you to write down because you got homework. Or if you need to watch this back, I hope everything's going good with the recording. You got homework. You can find 5 places where people are come to faith, baptized in water, and filled with the Holy Spirit. 5 times in the book of Acts. You can find it in Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 19. 2, 8, 9, 10, 19. 2, 8, 9, 10, 19. Now these people accepted Christ, get baptized in water, and at some point get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're empowered with a supernatural life. Here's a quick summary of those stories. I'm just going to go through them real quick. Acts chapter 2 is when the 120 in the upper room, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking with other tongues. And Peter is filled with crazy boldness, wisdom, and eloquent words. And he goes out and he preaches a powerful sermon, and around 3,000 people that very moment in one sermon come to Christ. He didn't do that on his own. Peter was a fisherman. Peter, if anything, constantly had a bad taste of his shoe in his mouth because he's constantly putting his foot in his mouth. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went out and preached things, and they even say, wow, who are these people? And how is he speaking these truths? Right? Most people back then, if they're fishermen, they weren't real studied on God's word. They weren't real educated. Dude, but he was busting off wisdom and education you can't even believe. Like somebody who's been studying their whole life. Why? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. He preached exactly what people needed to hear at the exact moment, exact truth, found him in the exact time, full of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people came to Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 2. All right, Acts chapter 8 is when Philip goes down to Samaria and begins to preach the gospel to people who've just come to faith in Jesus, and they got baptized. They were baptized in water, and they start following Jesus' teachings. Peter and John hear about what's happening, and they go down to Samaria to check it out and help. Man, there's a lot of people coming to Christ. They're getting baptized. I'm going to come down there and help. When they get down there, they ask believers, Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? No, not yet. Now think about this. These are Christians, even baptized in water, sealed with the Holy Spirit, following the ways of Jesus, but have yet not been filled with the Holy Spirit. That sounds like a lot of Christians today. Peter and John then start praying for them to receive the Holy Spirit by laying their hands on them. And they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9 is when Ananias goes and prays for Saul. Remember that? Don't you know God, Holy Spirit? Don't you know this guy kills Christians? I'm a Christian. You're sending me into the lion's den. Why would I go pray for this guy named Paul? I'm sorry, Saul. Well, he didn't know. His name was now Paul, called by God, right? But he was obedient. So Ananias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he goes and he prays for Paul, who once was Saul, and scale-like things fell off his eyes. And he was no longer temporarily blind. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we have most of our New Testament. Because Paul, a man full of the Holy Spirit, who was prayed for by Ananias, wrote most of the New Testament that we read about. Praise God. These are important things that happen in God's word. And Acts chapter 10 is when Peter is at Cornelius' house preaching the gospel, and the Holy Spirit falls among the Gentiles. Every believer in the world, if you're not ethnically Jewish, which is probably all of us, or maybe there's a handful of people that are ethnically Jewish. So if you are not ethnically Jewish, you should be thankful for the events that happen in Acts chapter 10. Gentiles, I am one. I'm from European descent. We are Christians because of Acts chapter 10. Christianity became available to more than just the Jewish people. And it started in Acts chapter 10. By the falling of the Holy Spirit, by the presence and the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? All right, last one, Acts chapter 19. This is in Ephesus, and there are these guys that were discipled by John the Baptist, and they're baptized in the ways of Jesus. Paul asked these believers, there's all these people and all these believers, and they were baptized in the way of Jesus through John the Baptist. And Paul goes to these people in Ephesus and says, have you been filled in the Holy Spirit? And they say, we've never even heard of this Holy Spirit you talk about. Paul prays for them, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Something incredible happens to them at this moment. Now, the Bible multiple times says you either speak with other tongues or you prophesy. At this one moment, it doesn't say exactly what takes place, but something supernatural happened in this event when they were praying together and the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened. How do we know that? Because there's this sorcerer, right, named Simon. And he comes and he notices something happened here, and he wants to buy the Holy Spirit. How do I buy that? And the disciples rebuke him for it. Now think about this. I think this is very true for us today, in many churches today. Like these believers, some of them have no clue what Paul was talking about when it comes to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've never heard of the Holy Spirit, or they think that this is Holy Spirit, some mystical mist, or this thing that happened 2,000 years ago that he's no longer with us. It's just something that we read about in God's word. I don't really understand, or maybe they haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit altogether. Now you have others that are like Simon, or in the camp of Simon, or have seen things like Simon wanted to do. And by this baptism, you've maybe seen some gimmicks, some strategies, some swindling tactics to get people to do what they want you to do. And they call it the Holy Spirit. Right? All right, close your eyes, put your arms up, stand on one foot, and I'm going to blow on you and push you over, right? And it's going to be the presence of God. Now, I'm joking, but some of you know what I'm saying. See, some people say, I've never heard of anything like this before. You're in this camp. I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I maybe even really heard of the Holy Spirit. I'm just now learning about Jesus. I don't know about the third God, part of the Godhead, the Trinity. I don't even know what you're talking about. Then you have people over here that make it real strange, real weird. People on the ground barking and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And they're going off, and you're almost like, man, that's just fleshly. That's probably not even God at all, and maybe it's maybe you remember the 80s and the 90s with this charismatic just outpouring that oftentimes people got way, way off, and you say, I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, or yeah, I get it. It's kind of a joke, and sometimes people make it something, and it really bugs me. Church, I want to tell you about a third option. It's a biblical one. Inviting the Holy Spirit to fill people genuinely in a supernatural way that there's no denying people are being touched and empowered by God himself. There's a third way, a genuine move, a genuine baptism, a genuine empowerment of the Holy Spirit. See, something may feel strange in the natural. It should. It's supernatural, beyond your nature. But our spirits will understand, man, that's genuine and authentic. I don't get it here, but something resonates here. That's real. That's not this weird stuff where, and then you know, buy this for $50, you'll be filled in the Holy Ghost for the next 3 years. You know, this stuff. Or, we don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. That's how I grew up in the church that I grew up in. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we'll skip the next one, right? And this, we don't talk about that. See, there is a genuine move of God. It's biblical. I just read about 5 stories in just one book alone of the move of God. Now, we might not understand it in the natural, but that's okay. Our spirits will understand that it's genuine and authentic. As God has his way to move on his people as he sees fit. Now, Ephesians 5:18 says this. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. I'm just going to stop there. That's straight wisdom. Why? They say wine. You're like, yeah, I don't drink wine. You know, they didn't have 100 proof back then. They didn't have that cheap beer and all that stuff. They had wine. Don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. That's straight truth. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead, be filled. Now I want to talk. God gave me this morning as I was praying in my office. Think about this for a second. In our world, we think it's acceptable, right? And even celebrated. I worked in the secular for many, many years. 7 years before I even got here was just one time. 6 years before that. I get it. I remember working in there. And I remember where I used to work. Oftentimes, everyone, all they could talk about is they can't wait to get off on Friday, get drunk and go partying and worship the porcelain God. Right? Get on your knees and worship. Hallelujah. Right? That's just fun. But no, that's what they talked about. It's not only celebrated, it's accepted. So wait a second. God gave me this. So basically, the bartender becomes the pastor or the priest or the man of God or the woman of God that is feeding you. And you think it's acceptable that people, when they're drunk, they can walk all over the place. And that's okay. Ah, they're drunk. We get it, right? And they'll keep slurring the words. It's like, oh, they're drunk. That's just part of life in their life. But yet, people get filled in the Holy Ghost, can barely stand in his presence, speak with other tongues, and that's crazy? Y'all said what you heard what I said, right? God gave me that this morning. That's because there's a difference between the natural and the supernatural. The natural says you can drunk with wine or 100 proof or take those shots or go party and mix your drinks, have fun, do whatever, right? You can get drunk, you shouldn't drive home, and that's all right, I'm the DD tonight, and you're approving of that. Wonderful. Thank you for being the DD. I approve of that behavior. But yet, we don't want to pray for people to be filled in the Holy Ghost, and they can't stand his presence. They say things and maybe act a little different, but that's the power from on high. You got to be people of the supernatural. You got to recognize the difference here. You can worship the things of the world or you can worship Jesus. Come on now. Told you I'd say come on now again. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what every church say, every. Okay, not everyone said every. That's weird. Y'all said every, but not everybody did. That's very ironic. All right, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what, say every.
Every.
Come on, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what every believer needs so we can fulfill the portion of the Great Commission that we are personally called to do. Let me tell you, I've preached before not full of the Holy Ghost, and I've preached before full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, it's a lot better when I'm full of the Holy Ghost than it is when I'm in my own knowledge or whatever I've studied or wherever I've gone, right? Right now in my life, I'm called to preach. What are you called to? All of us are supposed to be empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, you can ask, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. I want the empowerment. Activate my faith. I have faith in Jesus. I know I'm saved. But activate this power in me so I can go out and tell other people. I can go out and I can go to the hood. I can go to my neighborhood. I can go and do this. I can pray for faith. I can see miracles, signs, and wonders. I can speak with other tongues. I can do these things that your word says that I'm capable of if I would just submit to you. Now, Acts chapter 8, I'm going to read a little bit of portion of the Acts chapter 8 story that we that I just described in a summary. If you start in verse 14, 15, and 16, it says this. I'm going to read out of the NIV for this one. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. 17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Today we don't have Peter and John, but we have Harris and John. That's all we got, God. That's all we got. That's all you gave us. I don't have a Peter in my life right now that I feel that's called to do this right now. So we have a Pastor Harris and a Pastor John who can lay hands on you to receive the incredible baptism. Worship trio, will you come? Yeah, there's three of them. That's a trio. That's another way to say three. You guys are like, trio. Yes. Duo. You guys have to fight. Whoever wins gets to come up. Whoever loses, the trio's broken up. Hallelujah. Trio. All right, church. It's Pentecost. In my opinion, it's the third greatest Sunday the entire year of people who are following after Jesus, who call themselves a Pentecostal or charismatic church. I think it's vitally important. Today is so vitally important, and we don't want to miss it. If you hear me, this is the time to hear me, because I'm going to give an invitation, but I want to make sure you understand the invitation before you come up for the invitation. Or if you're at home, understand this invitation. The main invitation today is to come and surrender to the Holy Spirit, so you can have the power of the Holy Spirit to live a supernatural life as you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, it can be your first time, or it can be your 50th time. There's a word in the New Testament that talks about an infilling, but this word is used for a re-infilling. It's a constant infilling. It's a constant thing. So if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit before, but you're like, man, I need a fresh outpouring in my life. I need a new baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need something new. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me again. It's for you. Or if you're like, I haven't heard about the Holy Spirit, or maybe I have, and I just haven't been ready to yield to Him and ask Him to baptize me with power so I can do the things that He's called me to do. I'm a believer. I walk with faith, but maybe sometimes I'm shaky. That's because you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Today's your day. If you want it to be, you can invite the Holy Spirit to baptize you today. So how do I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Pastor? Number one, you have to yield to the Holy Spirit by faith. You will never do anything for God if you're going to control everything. You're going to do amazing things if you yield and allow Him to control everything. Our God is more generous than any. Number one, you have to yield to the Holy Spirit by faith. You don't have to have all the answers. It's by faith. Did you have all the answers to salvation when you asked Christ into your heart? You probably didn't. You probably still don't. Welcome to being a human. by faith, yield to the Holy Spirit. That's number one. Number two, you have to ask for the infilling. You have to ask for the power from on high. Holy Spirit, like you did 2,000 years ago, I ask for you to fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Fill me, baptizo me, immerse me. I surrender to you. I need your power, your supernatural power, to fill me completely. That's what I need. I yielded to you, and now I'm inviting you to fill me. And number three is this, laying on of hands. Not always does this have to happen. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit in your house, and there ain't nobody around. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit when you're in your car, hopefully when you parked. God can do anything. Man, I've been in my car before and the Spirit of God just came upon me and I could just feel his anointing. And I'm like, woo! And then Carrie Underwood came and Jesus, take the wheel because I got the Holy Ghost upon me, right? And you're just like, woo! Right? You're just feeling him. You're like, oh God, I got to do something. It's happened before and I see a person, a homeless person. My kids have been in the car before too, and I told my wife later so she wasn't too worried about it. I have to wait till after the fact. So I just pull over and I said, kids, stay in the car. I got to go talk to that guy. And we've done it. You're filled with the holy presence and power of God to do something I would never do. I just drive on by, right? Or I just hand him a dollar, give him a cheeseburger. No, I'm getting out. We got to talk, right? I got something for you, right? I'm reminded of those two disciples. And they see that man said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have. Rise up and walk, right? They're filled with the holy presence and power of God. You can believe in Jesus, you walk by, throw some change in there, but when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you walk on by and you stop, you say, here's $5 and here's the anointing and the presence, I got something to tell you, right? You're not afraid. Everyone who's watching me weirdly, come over here, you gotta hear this too. Walmart, you gotta hear this. Target, you gotta hear this, right? Menards, you gotta hear this. Maurice's, wherever. You got to hear this. She's laughing. She likes Maurice's. Oh, Maurice's does. Number one, you got to yield to the Holy Spirit by faith. Number two, you got to ask for the presence and the power to fill you. God, fill me with your presence. Baptize me. Baptizo me. And number three, laying on of hands. Okay? Acts 8:17 says this. Then Peter and John... Today it's Pastor Harris and Pastor John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Today's Pentecost invitation is the same one Jesus gave. It's this: come together. Glad you're here. Come together. Pray. And wait until you're baptized with power. Come together. I'm about to pray. And wait until you're baptized with power. See, this 120 in the upper room gave permission for 10 days. Come, come, come. Jesus said to stay, I'm gonna stay. Come. He said he's gonna send another. Come, come, come here, Lord. We need you. Fill us now. There's an invitation in this room. And then more people left. 500 went down to 400, 300, 200, down to 150, 120. They stayed and the power of God came. Not everybody's gonna get it. Not everybody's gonna receive it. Because not everybody wants it or invites the Holy Spirit into their life. That's why you got churches today that are dying and you got churches that are growing because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they're led by the Spirit of God. Your doctrine won't save you, Christ will, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of God is going to come upon people today. I believe it. I've prepared for it. I've prayed for it in a supernatural way. What's it going to look like? I don't know exactly. By the way, there might be some ushers that we might need to catch people. Now, there's going to be people behind you in case the presence of God is so powerful you can't stand. Remember what I just said? There's people that drink so much they can't even stand, and their friend's bringing them to the car. Well, this is going to be a whole other thing. This is going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've seen people lay down. I've seen people fall like they just melted, right? And then I've seen people fall out, and I've seen people just stand there and just get waves and waves of the presence of God. Oftentimes for me, the way it happens is I feel like this lead blanket. You ever been to like the dentist before and this blanket comes upon you? It's kind of heavy, but it's kind of comfy. And you're like, ooh, it's kind of nice. I've fallen out in the spirit before. I just laid there and it felt like that lead was on me. And it was like God was just hovering, his presence was just hovering me. And then I got up and they're like, what did God say to you? He didn't say anything, but I feel so much lighter. The peace of God just lifted. See, for me, there's a lot of heavy burdens in my life. And so for me, he ministers to me the way he does. But for you today, he's gonna minister to you today the way that you need to be ministered to if you invite him to. I'm gonna invite you in just a moment to come up if you wanna receive laying on of hands. And I love you enough, I brought some gum. Praise God. Cherokee knows what's up. He's been around me without gum. Okay. Reverend John here in a moment and Pastor Harris are gonna be coming up and we're gonna be praying for you on the laying on of hands. Now, if you don't want that, that's fine. But here's your other invitation. It's come up to the front, get in the line, we'll pray for you. Or here's your other invitation. I invite you right where you are. If you're at home, you're watching later, right where you are in your seat, I'm gonna ask you to stand in a moment, right where you are, you can invite the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fall upon you right where you are. There's no perfect formula. It's just obedience in what God says. It's through faith in Christ. And it's gonna be miraculous. Why? There's not a single person, not a single Christian in this world that does not need, thank you, the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not one. We're promised from our Father when Jesus ascended, we're promised of the power and the presence and the baptizo, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Church, will you stand? The worship team's just gonna sing and if there's any ushers that can come, if not, we're just gonna believe in faith that when you fall, you ain't gonna get hurt. Hallelujah. That's just what happens. I see people fall out, their head hits the floor, we're like, oh, they're surely dead. Good thing we believe in healing in here because that guy, he's dead, he's gotta be dead, right? This guy was like 6'6", 6'5", and tall. You know, it's a long way for that tree to fall. Bam, right? And you're like, oh. He gets up and he's like, oh, praise God. It's like, are you hurting at all? It's like, from what? Like, dude, your head literally bounced on the ground. It's like, I don't feel anything. And I'm like, praise God. That just sometimes happens, so don't be alarmed. If it's God, he will take care of it. Church, if you want prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands, John, will you come and come here with me in the front? We just want to pray for you. Just come on up right now if you want to. Come on up if you want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. And if you still want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, stay where you are and you're going to invite. Maybe you're next to your spouse or your friend or the person you sit by every single day or every single Sunday. And maybe you need to spread out. This place is open. It just hit 12 o'clock. We got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. We don't want to rush what God's doing. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, we're just going to go and we're going to pray for you. So I'm going to invite you, if you're up here to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you just put your hands in a position of however you feel to accept it. You do not have to put your hands up, close your eyes, and be on one foot. We're not gonna do that. But some people will fall out probably by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing message. We thank you for your presence in here today. We thank you for your word that's true and active and alive. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And I pray that it goes deeper than the marrow and the bones. And it gets to our soul and our spirit even right now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Just like 2,000 years ago when your son ascended to heaven, you sent the promise of the Holy Spirit, a gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to empower us to do the things that you've called us to do. And I pray right now that this be a moment in history for all of these people, that they were empowered by the presence of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to move in a supernatural way. Every single person, if we're gonna lay hands on them or if they're there and they're being invited in, God, we just pray right now, Holy Spirit, move, 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 move. We invite you. We invite you. We have faith to believe you. In Jesus' name. Now worship with us, or ask the Holy Spirit to fall upon you as Pastor John and myself will be praying for you.